In today's gospel, we heard a message from Christ that I think we're very familiar with. And as often as we hear it, and as often we agree with it, I think it's actually one of his most difficult commands to follow. And that's his great teaching on forgiveness and on mercy. For we see that Peter actually brings up the issue. He says, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times?" Now, to give you a little context, in the first century, in the rabbinical tradition, it was their teaching that you had to forgive somebody three times, but after the fourth time, that was enough. You didn't have to forgive anymore. And so Peter probably felt that he was being quite generous in saying seven times, the number of perfection. But Jesus responds, not seven times, but 77 times. Which, of course, we all know is not meant to be, it's not meant to put a limit on how many times you forgive a person. You know, I don't think anybody's going to count, well, that's number 76, so you better shape up this time. You only got one left, you know. No. No, Christ, he's saying, you're supposed to forgive as often as you're transgressed against, as often as your brother sins against you, you forgive. And now, of course, in many aspects, forgiveness can be easy. You know, if your brother, you know, if he steals a chocolate bar from you, that's easy to forgive. All right, it's a candy bar, okay. But when somebody really cuts you deep, somebody really offends you, somebody really hurts you, that's when forgiveness becomes really quite difficult. When you think, I'm supposed to forgive him after what he did to me? And we've all been there, right? But I think it's important for us to really define forgiveness for what it really is. Because I think part of our reserve with it is that we don't properly understand what forgiveness really is. I think we have this perception that forgiving somebody is to just pat them on the back and say, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. And then when something really wicked is done against us, that's precisely what we don't want to do. But that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness doesn't tell a sinner, it's okay that you stole my car, don't worry about it. It's okay that you murdered my wife, it's okay, we all love you. No. Forgiveness actually recognizes that evil has been done. But we have mercy nonetheless. And then Jesus actually tells us a parable to put things in perspective. For he says that the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. And he calls one forward, and our translation here says, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Now, this is a rather large understatement of our English translation here. The Greek says that he owed the king a myriad of talents. Now, a talent was, I believe, 600,000 denarii, which was the typical daily wage in the first century. A myriad was 10,000, the largest number in Greek that they had. So, to put it in more modern language, it would be like he owed the king $100 trillion. And then he says, oh, have mercy on me. Be patient with me. I will pay you back in full. Right. I mean, I don't have $1 trillion in debt. I do have student loans, and that's hard to pay back. If I had that much, I don't think it's going to happen. But then it says that the master, moved with compassion, forgives him his debt. He had this massive debt that he could never pay back, and it was forgiven. But then he goes to his fellow servant, and it says that he owed him a much smaller amount. Once again, we go back to the Greek, it says 100 denarii, so 100 daily wages is what he was owed. Just a little bit less than a myriad of talents. Not quite. But he doesn't have the same compassion that the king had. He seizes his fellow servant and begins to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." And he gives him the same response that was given to the king. "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wouldn't have it, and he had him thrown into prison until he paid back the debt. So naturally, his fellow servants were scandalized. They knew that his greater debt had been forgiven. They knew that he had been forgiven a myriad of talents, and then he wouldn't forgive 100 denarii? So they go to the king and tell him what happened, to which he says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your loan, the entire debt, because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" And so then, in his anger, he handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt, which is, in effect, never. For then the Lord says, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Because we find in many aspects that when people transgress against us, we're like this servant who is owed 100 denarii, but also like that servant, we're the ones who owe God the myriad of talents. And each and every time we go to confession, we're just like the servant saying, "Be patient with me, Lord. Please forgive me." And moved with compassion, he forgives the entire debt. And our Lord is saying, "As I have had mercy on you, as I have forgiven you your great debts, your transgressions, all of your sins, so must you do with your brothers and your sisters when they transgress against you. Forgive him, forgive her from your heart, just as I have forgiven you." That is the great mercy of God. And indeed, as I was doing a little bit of research on this passage, I read something that was very striking and something that challenged me even as a priest, where this commentator mentioned that many times when the saints were persecuted, when they were made to suffer at the hands of others, they would give thanks and give praise and be joyful because it gave them the opportunity to be like Christ the Lord, who himself was merciful. And it struck me, and it really challenged me, thinking, wow, that's incredible. And it's a little bit ridiculous, but he's right. For our Lord, when he was being nailed to the cross, what did he say? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." As he was being nailed to a cross to suffer a horrible execution, he's asking for his Father's forgiveness. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we see St. Stephen, who is being stoned to death. And right before he dies, the last thing he says, "Lord, do not hold this transgression against them," interceding for those who have committed a grave sin. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let that be our example for today. That when we are sinned against, when we are persecuted, when we are made to suffer at the hands of others, that we may imitate the saints and we may imitate Christ, saying, "Father, forgive them," taking their offense as an opportunity for intercession. Yes, this is difficult. That's where we pray for the grace of Christ. "Lord, conform me unto yourself, conform me to you. Make my heart like your own most sacred heart, forgiving my brothers and sisters who have sinned against me, but forgiving them as you forgive them."